This time on Slaughterhouse Princess, The Covenant 2017. We have to specify because there are like 100 movies called The Covenant.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised that this one wasn't about the Warlock boys.
Welcome to Slaughterhouse, Princess. I'm Chris.
And I'm Troy. And I'm serious. I actually thought we were going to watch a movie like there's a, some like magic using like high school boys that came out like in 2006, which is what I thought this was until I went back and looked at Dummy Act's comment because Dummy Act, thank you, suggested this movie. And I was like, oh no, this is not the one I thought it was. Now I got to figure out which one she's talking about.
Yeah, I thought it was like the Harry Potter knockoff one.
So Dummy Act, I hope we got this one right. From your description, it sounds like I did. So,
yeah. Wherever you are, Dummy Act, thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Might have to rename it to the Dummy Act Memorial Channel.
I hope not. But yeah, she's hanging out with Plovdiv somewhere.
Yeah. I say every Slaughterhouse Princess listener who disappears, we assume is hanging out with Plovdiv.
Yep. That's where Horstlanta goes and visits them every now. Yeah. Horstlanta's been visiting them for a while now.
Yeah.
Yeah, the horse shall return at the very least. The first episode released the first full week of April.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that will be the episode recorded at SHPCon.
Yeah. It's turned into a thing.
Yeah, we're going to have actual listeners showing up.
It turned into a thing.
It's awesome. We're going to have Matt signing pillows.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Not just anybody can say pillow signing and mean it.
Yeah. I mean, how many cons have you been to with pillow signings? I have been to none.
Same.
Yeah. I mean, and I'm not bringing headshots, so I won't be signing those.
I mean, I might. That'd be fun.
There you go. Yeah, just Chris headshot.
Yeah.
get your glamour shots done before the episode, the con.
How do you think I got that milk money role? What, just because I was randomly downtown and some guy told me he wanted me to be in a movie and then I thought he was going to sexually assault me in some sort of movie trailer, but then it turns out he wasn't?
Yeah, but you said yes to that, Chris.
I was 14. I'd have said yes to about anything if I thought it was going to end up that way.
Okay, great. Wonderful. So speaking of movie trailers, Chris, how does this movie start?
I don't remember.
It starts with a funeral, doesn't it?
Yeah. There's a funeral.
Yeah. Begin with the end of someone.
And we meet up with mom lady who is teaming Shirley Manson.
Yep, she definitely looks like knockoff Shirley Manson. There is her brother who is Timu Ted Raimi.
Yeah.
And also, I believe also the director's brother. They share a last name and they're in a lot of stuff together. Or he's in a lot of the director's stuff. So I'm assuming he's the director's brother. Bam. So that makes him even more Ted Raimi-ish.
Yeah, that really does.
And then there is also husband, who does not look like Shirley Manson's husband. I've actually seen him. He brought her out a whiskey one time at a concert that I was watching at.
Nice.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to be the stage husband, I guess you should bring your wife whiskey when she requests it on stage.
I mean, if your wife Shirley Manson, she's like, bring me a whiskey. I mean, what are you going to say?
No? I mean, and she is Scottish, so she takes her whiskey seriously.
I would imagine neat, but I don't know.
I don't remember. I don't think I was close enough to see if it was neat or had ice. Or whiskey stones, even. I don't know. But yes, there's a funeral.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. And then we get to post-funeral.
Yeah, like you do.
Where she is, she wakes up in bed, and her husband's not in bed. And we cut to the husband in their dead daughter's room. That's who the funeral was for, by the way. And then he walks into her room, says it's all your fault, and then shoots himself in the head.
Yeah, which is a hell of a thing.
It's a good way to start a movie.
Yeah, I mean, it's a thing that happened in this movie, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely gets your attention.
Yeah. And then we cut to sometime later.
Yep. And it is Shirley Manson and Ted Raimi outside of a house.
Turns out it's their old, I guess, childhood home. Oh, where their mom lived. It's unclear.
It is at least where their mom lived. I believe they lived there for a while as well, based on the dialogue.
Yeah. So probably childhood home.
Yeah.
Brother is estranged to some degree.
Yeah. Well, we find out over the course of the movie, he had a bit of a drinking problem. And I think that kind of kept him alienated from the family. And then he is now sober. Was it a year?
A couple years, I think.
Couple years, yeah. And then...
Just a brief side note. I can't hear the phrase drinking problem without thinking about that bit from Airplane. It's a personal failing.
Yeah.
I have a drinking problem, and then he splashes it in his face. Classic.
Yep. My dog is running laps in the hallway outside my door. Just because he can.
I mean, laps ain't going to run themselves.
Nope. He's got a Zoom. Zoomer's got a Zoom. Yeah, and so she's kind of like is one happy that her brother's there helping take care of her because she's still mourning the loss of her daughter to leukemia. And also the house is really shitty.
Yeah, nobody's been there in years. There's troubles with like the water, this and that.
But they have a brand new glowing white fridge.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
That was what got me more than anything. It was like they're panning around and the place just looks like it looks like death warmed over. And then you like nice glowing white new fridge and then go dirty tile and dirty wallpaper and blah, blah, blah. I'm just like, that fridge does not belong there. And they didn't like say, oh, fridge is out. We're going to have to get a new fridge or anything to explain it. It just was there.
And they're getting into a little spat, but then they come around. It's recent enough that the wounds are still fresh from the passing.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is probably like maybe a month or two at the most since her husband died or killed himself.
Yeah. Which, you know, that's a bad time. So they turn in for the night. Well, brother is going to turn in. He's sleeping on the floor mattress.
Good old floor mattress.
And Shirley Manson heads up to take a bath because boobs.
Yeah. Also, she has like an image of herself underwater. Not necessarily. I mean, I think it's supposed to be implied drowning.
Yeah.
It's not real clear. She hears the voice of her daughter as well.
Yeah.
I'll say something. I don't know.
Some kind of shit.
Yeah. Saying shit kids say. You know, kids say the darndest things.
Mm-hmm. And she has here. a little freak out.
Is it a psychobilly freak out?
No, I don't think it's that extreme.
Okay. Lay freaks so chic?
It's, I would say it's more of like an adult contemporary freak out.
Oh, okay.
Like, if you panicked when you were at the dentist's office and you heard the music, it would be like that.
Oh, okay.
Where you're like, well, I am in a public space. I probably shouldn't go too crazy, but I need to freak out a little bit.
It's like the Kenny G cover of Psychobilly Freakout.
Yeah.
Okay.
And your grandma would get pumped if she heard it.
And then, yeah, so she's having some issues.
Yeah, there are implications involving her daughter's death that maybe things are on the level.
Yeah.
Because I think that's what the husband said right before he punched his own card was something like
It's this is all your fault.
Yeah, but not in like a figurative way, in a very literal.
Yeah, like as in, you are the reason our daughter died.
You were directly responsible for the series of events.
Yeah, I mean, just spoilers. Like, I mean, the implication is that she drowned her daughter in the bathtub.
Yeah, it'll become
throughout the movie. Yeah. I just don't want to have to talk around it because I'm tired.
Fair.
Sorry, listeners. I'm tired. And so, like, there's various home repair shit that needs to be done around the house to make it not condemned. Because it looks like it should be condemned. And so Ted Raimi goes off to the hardware store to buy some bolts and get some keys copied.
Like you do.
And that is where he meets. And when I say like the hardware store, I don't mean Home Despot. I mean like the local like Walter Bob Friend owned like hardware store.
Yeah, for our younger listeners, you used to go to hardware stores that were not owned by multinational conglomerates.
Yeah, and therein he meets a dude who is wearing black.
Yeah.
And says cryptic things to him.
Yeah, the hardest part is finding the piece that fits.
Yes.
And Ted Raimi's
I don't remember
like,
shit.
Fucking great. I love it. Thanks for that, I guess.
Yeah, great. Got a weirdo talking to me while I'm just trying to get some fucking keys copied.
Yeah.
And find the right size bolt for this pipe.
I know nothing makes me happier at the hardware store than I am subjected to random conversations.
While you're looking for your pipe bolts?
Yeah. Fixing a thing, are we? No, I just come here for the ambiance.
Yeah. I'm looking to break some stuff. I'm looking for something to break. Could you give me something to break?
Fair.
And then I turn my red baseball cap around forward and walk out. Mic drop.
Weird you had a microphone in that scenario, but...
Well, I mean, I just assume Fred Durst always has a microphone on him.
Yeah, probably. He seems like the kind of guy that would.
Yeah. You know, because behind those blue eyes, he just has a need for attention.
True.
Yep.
So, let's see. Where are we? Oh, yeah, he's at the hardware store. The cryptic man says cryptic things. Yep. Meanwhile, back at the Hall
back
of Justice.
Back at the Hall of Justice, yeah.
Yeah. I knew that was coming.
Fewer than half people listen to this podcast have to get that joke because it's a Super Friends joke. And that was not on that long.
The lady next door who remembers them from when they were kids.
Yep, that's why we now realize that it was their childhood home.
She decides to stop over with her friend who is like, I don't know, 25 years her junior.
Like horse tooth religious lady. Horse face religious lady.
No, not her, the other one.
Oh, okay.
There's horse face religious lady. And then there's the other one.
Okay. So, horse face religious lady was the older one.
Yeah, she was just staring at everybody from across the street.
Okay, I guess I thought it was the younger one who was the horse face one, but it's the older one. Okay.
Yeah, so she shows up.
We have an We have an old lady and a young lady. Younger lady, not young.
Younger, yeah.
Yeah.
So she shows up with a store-bought apple pie, which she is upfront about, which, you know, props.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do you want to pass off the grocery store stuff as your own? Although, I could use some lemon bars instead. I'm not a big apple pie person.
Understandable.
Yeah.
Pie is bad.
Maybe I'll bring lemon bars for the con. That might be good. I'll talk to my wife about that. Yeah. I have I have dozens of lemons in my kitchen right now.
That seems unnecessary.
It's a party down there, that's for certain.
Gross. So they're having a nice little sit down. Next door neighbor lady commits the social faux pas of speaking without knowing full context of a situation. Yikes. We've all been there.
Yeah. I think she referred the Shirley Manson references her daughter at some point
They're sitting down in the living room when she goes off to get tea. Yeah. And neighbor lady's like, what a charming young lady. I'm sure she's fun at parties and exciting and totally alive.
Yeah, like when she goes to school, like the school district here isn't bad, blah, 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 blah. And you're just like, oh, no. And she's like, oh, yeah, no, my daughter's dead. And then he's like, oh.
Yeah. And as an introvert, that was the most harrowing part of the entire movie for me. But oh God, that's my worst nightmare.
Yeah. That lady was like up to her like middle of her shin bone with her foot so far in her mouth.
Yeah. Like, the only way it could have been worse if she was like, so when's the baby due and she's not pregnant? Like it's one of those moves.
Yeah. But we'll get there.
Gross.
And so then they get tea, and the Shirley Manson makes the younger lady tea, hands her the mug, and the lady like yells, drops the tea, and like the cross she was wearing on her chest apparently like scorched her.
Yeah. Which is weird. For reasons.
Yeah. And then they hustle on out of the house because that was fucking weird.
Yep.
Most people's like wooden crosses do not burn them. Like it wasn't even like a metal cross. I think it was a wood cross.
No, it was a gold little.
Oh, was it gold?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, I mean, that still was weird because it would probably melt before it burnt you, but whatever.
Yeah.
So they leave the film, never to be heard from again.
Oh, I thought Horseface Lady showed up later.
Yeah, that's not the same person still.
Oh, huh.
They're still two separate characters.
Apparently I am horseface blind.
Hey, that's good, I guess.
I mean, I was blinded by horse's face just a minute ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, Brett should not shave off all of his hair except for his eyebrows.
Nope.
He has eyebrows, right?
Unclear.
Yes. Yes, no, he does have eyebrows. Okay.
I don't like it.
I mean, if J.K. Simmons wants to be on the podcast, that's fine.
That's true.
I mean, I'm happy to let him on the podcast. He doesn't have to impersonate Horselanta.
Oh. I don't know. I'm not sure who that's more insulting for at this point. So brother comes home, I think.
Yeah. And they decide to go out for a night to get out of the house because the house doesn't have TV or video games or anything like that.
No, nothing.
So they go out to the local bar, which is where we find out the guy is sober because he orders like water or Sprite or something like that.
Ginger ale or whatever.
Yeah, whatever he wants. Do do bars still give out like free pop to like designated drivers?
You're implying that I've been to a bar to not drink at any time in like the last 20 years.
I'm implying that maybe you brought a designated driver with you, Chris.
Nah, I just walk.
Yeah, that's true. You are within walking distance of a bar.
Yeah, if I'm not in a bar I can walk to, then I'm not going to get drunk enough to need a DD. So
I have not been to a bar since like 1997.
Wild.
Yeah. No, 99. It would have been 99. Because I turned 21 in 99. And I was legally there. So, it's been about 25 years since I've been to a bar. So, I do not know.
It has been since Thursday, since I was drinking in public. Wasn't a bar, I guess, but... Hey.
I mean, I will drink at restaurants and, like, I don't consider tap rooms bars, so...
Tap rooms are bars. Their entire reason for existing is for you to drink.
Yeah, but they don't really feel like bars. The most of them feel like restaurants these days.
Also true.
But maybe bars feel like restaurants too. I don't know. Also, Virginia doesn't actually have bars. Technically, like, because you have to have a certain percentage of your revenue has to come from food. Weird. And like, it's a decent percentage. Like, you can't just like serve alcohol and nothing else. You have to serve food.
Wild.
And sell it. You have to sell food, too. Like, you can't just be like, oh, yeah, we have food on the menu, but no one orders it.
You can't just have a menu that's all just papayas and...
Durian fruit. It's just all
it's
durian.
Durian. Fruit. Not even cut up. You just get a whole durian, and that's it.
And a machete, and you're like, go to town.
It's hard to get into. It smells bad. It is awful.
And it's weirdly creamy.
Would you like a whiskey with your durian, sir? No, of course you wouldn't. Why would you?
We call it the Wu-Tang special.
I would probably have to be drunk to even get a durian, honestly.
I mean, I would do it just to try it once, because that's the kind of person I am, but the only place you see I've seen them are like in Asian countries where like all the hotels are like, no durian fruit is allowed in the hotel.
Yeah, please smoke in the rooms. But no durian.
Yeah, I know. Literally like signs posted saying no durian fruit allowed.
So they're, where are they? They're at the bar.
Yep.
Where they meet up with someone, maybe? I don't remember.
Yeah, I think the purpose of the bar scene was to establish that that guy was sober, like a number of years sober. And they talk about like when they were younger, and then I think they just head home afterwards. I don't remember there being a whole lot that happens in this scene. Chris, please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, I guess you're not going to correct me. And then they head on back to have a night at home. And I believe this is when the lady is trying to sleep and she hears the swing set outside. And she goes outside and her daughter is kind of apathetically swinging in the swing. And she tries to talk to her daughter, but her daughter kind of just continues to apathetically swing in the swing. And maybe says something cryptic to her.
Like most kids.
And then Ted Raimi shows up and is like, hey, sis, what's going on? She's like, oh, I'm just talking to my daughter. And then she turns around and no one's there. Ba-ba-ba. And then they both just go to sleep again.
Yeah. Wait, did they go to sleep? When does the self-harm happen? I don't remember.
That happens a little bit later.
I watched this movie like an hour ago, and I can't remember anything about it.
Yeah, I watched this like 2 days ago, because I knew I was not going to have a chance to watch it before Sunday, or like on Sunday or Saturday, so I watched it Friday night. While waiting for a cheesecake to cool. That was my wife's like, I'm tired. Can you stay up? I was like, sure, I'll just watch the movie for the podcast. And I managed to stay awake. It was a miracle. Yeah, with spoilers on how I feel about the movie. I mean, she gets trapped down in the basement around this time.
Yeah, it smells bad.
Yeah, and the basement smells like shit. And so Ted Raimi's like, God damn it. Now we got like a fucking broken sewer line and this house is falling apart. Why are we even here? Why did I suggest this place? I'm such an idiot. But we're still here because I'm not leaving. And this, I believe, is when she like takes the chef's knife and runs it from her up to her wrist to her elbow.
I mean, to be fair, she at least does it right.
Yeah, but she didn't use kitchen shears. She used the chef's knife.
Yeah.
Which is the way things are done in kitchens.
And her brother...
Because scissors are not for fingers.
No, true.
Yeah, we established this a few episodes ago.
I think so. That's canon.
Yeah. Yep. Although that's how you make your chicken wings, apparently.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I still need my garlic parm and teriyaki chicken wings, Chris, when I'm there.
Ugh, gross. So, Ted Raimi catches her bleeding everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
She locks herself.
And she's like, it slipped.
Yeah, it slipped. I accidentally slipped and made a 9-inch gouge down my entire forearm.
Yep.
And he's like, I mean, pretty calm considering she should probably have bled out before the conversation finished.
Yeah, like the blood was just kind of dripping out. But I mean, there's a reason, I think, for... Like, we'll get to why she didn't bleed out in a minute here.
Yeah. So he takes her to the hospital because she doesn't want the cops involved, which, you know, yeah, I don't know. In our house, we don't talk to the cops.
No.
Maybe that's just me.
I talked to a cop today, but that's because he owns the land I have my bees on. And he's no longer a cop, technically, so.
So he's only kind of a bad person.
Yeah. He also trains dogs. And he's a farmer. So I call her farmer cop.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So they're at the hospital. And we learned that these are old. But somehow she was bleeding everywhere.
Well, that's the thing. The nurse like unwraps it and she's like, when did this happen? And she's like, just today. She's like, why didn't you come in earlier? Like these wounds, like this wound looks like it's a week old. Like you're going to have a nasty scar. You should have gotten stitches. So the reason she didn't bleed out is because her arm was healing way faster than it should.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
Yeah, she's a Wolverine.
Yeah.
She's a Weapon X. She got a little bit of...
She's half Canadian.
Yeah, we could all be so lucky.
Mm-hmm. That's why they have universal health care, because they all heal really quickly.
They can afford it because they're all Wolverines.
Yep.
So they head home, but not before talking to Preacher Guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Father Whitehair is there. And Ted Raimi's like, maybe you should talk to my sister, who I'm pretty sure just tried to kill herself. And he's like, you know what? That sounds like a priestly thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, usually people who are in the throes of... suicidal ideation, love it when you tell them like how they're gonna go to hell. That usually helps a lot.
Also how someone like died for them.
Yeah, like that's probably gonna be super helpful.
Yeah, I mean the fact that this guy died for you by committing like suicide by cop, basically, maybe not the best thing to bring up.
You know, I never thought of it like that, and now I'll never be able to not think of it like that.
It just occurred to me.
Yeah, I mean, more or less, that's what he did.
Yep.
Just in time for Easter, so remember that. Yeah. That's when we celebrate when Jesus committed suicide by cop.
By cop for your sins.
And it came back like, yeah.
It was totally worth it.
I didn't have the stones to do it myself.
Yeah. I mean, he did have that whole, like, you know, night of questioning when he asked, you know, God to take that cup away from his lips.
Maybe God told him to do it, right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, God planned it all out, right? I mean, he even said that he would be betrayed 3 times before the cock crows.
I mean, it makes sense. Suicide is a mortal sin, so you can't do it yourself. So you would have to have somebody else do it. So you just antagonize them to doing it.
Yeah. Even though suicide is painless.
Yeah, it brings on many changes.
Many changes. Yeah, so the priest talks to her a bit and kind of, you know, finds out about the daughter dying from leukemia and the husband committing suicide. And then he's like, you know, maybe brother, you should, you know, give us some privacy so she can talk freely about her feelings and her thoughts and yada, yada, yada. And that is when he sees some evil floating face over her head that scares the shit out of him.
Why is that their house, not the hospital?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
But he, like, shows up. Yeah, he shows up, like, that night or, like, the next day.
Yeah, and then he's all like, I got this. And he freaks out immediately. He's like, fuck this. Yeah. I'm not pious enough.
He does have a psychobilly freak out.
Yeah, that is a psychobilly freak out right there.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know you got to be on your fucking game if you're freaking out the preacher man.
Yeah.
Or father. I don't know what the difference is. I don't
know. He is a priest.
I don't know.
I mean, he's dressed like a Catholic priest.
So. Yeah, I'm a filthy Protestant, so what do I know?
Yeah, I was raised Catholic. Is how I like to phrase it.
I went to church until I was old enough to stay home by myself.
I went to church, I think, up like a fair amount through high school, but not a whole lot.
Yeah.
Let's see what else. Oh, and then so he goes back and he calls his other priest friend, their priest guy that he knows through priest school or priest connections, and he says, hey, I got one for you.
His bro from seminary.
Yeah. And from PriestCon 2002, even though this is 2017. Yeah, 2002. That was before 2017.
Yeah, that's how numbers work.
I thought I said 2022 at first. But no, PriestCon 2002.
They calls him up and says, hey, that exorcism you're looking for, get a load of this.
Yeah. And then but then his housekeeper shows back up because she, I don't know, left her keys there or something.
Phone charger specifically. I remember that. Oh, I don't know why.
Yeah. Yeah. Her phone charger. And he is there and he has cut out his own tongue.
Yeah. Using some kind of like secret mace knife. I don't know what the fuck that thing was, but I was incredibly interested in it.
I don't remember what it looked like at all, so I cannot tell you.
Yeah, so he cut out his own tongue.
Yep.
Cool.
And he ends up in the hospital.
Meanwhile, Hall of Justice, etc. Hall of
Justice, yeah.
Brother is super mad about everything when it comes to his sister. She is spiraling at this point.
Yeah. She's also, I think, has found like various like scars on herself.
Yeah.
That she did not have before.
Keeps talking about how her dead kid is on the swings or whatever.
Yeah. Is this when the brother goes and visits the priest in the hospital?
No, this is this is when he goes, falls off the wagon.
Okay.
He heads back to the like real fake bar or fake real bar. I think it's real, but it feels super fake. It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. He orders an Irish whiskey and a Guinness or something dark, like, so you want a Boilermaker.
Yeah, he wants Irish whiskey and some sort of porter. I'm not 100%
sure. Or Irish car bomb. Like, he wants, like, an Irish... Well, I guess Irish car bomb uses Irish cream, right?
Yeah, it's got, like, Bailey's or whatever.
Yeah. Whereas he wants a Boilermaker, like, but make it Irish.
An Irish Boilermaker.
Yeah.
Never. He doesn't even touch the Guinness.
No. So he has starts drinking. A hot blonde sits down next to him and gives off very much like you could pay me for a night of fun vibes to him, at least, because he's like, I don't remember seeing you here before. He's like, or she's like, are you new here? And he's kind of like looking at her like, are you trying to like sleep with me for money? It's kind of like the look he gives her, even though he's like two sheets to the wind already. And I was like, oh, very, very astute of him, despite being half drunk, to realize that this lady may not be on the up and up. But
yeah, because he's cranking them shots.
Yeah, he is. He is far more than two beers and a shot into things.
Yeah, which is all we do around here. We're responsible adults who start drinking at 3 p.m. on a Sunday.
Yeah, well, we finish by 7:30, 8.
Yeah. With our one shot and two beers, and that's it. That's it.
Yeah. Yep.
Never anymore.
Never anymore.
Nobody's ever crushed a 12 pack between two people open this piece.
No. And if we say 12 pack, we don't mean 12 ounce cans.
Yeah. That's never happened.
At some point, he talks for a little bit longer, and then he realizes that he needs to go pee.
Well, she suggests that they go back to his place after he's had indeterminate amount of shots and sipped a Guinness one time.
Yeah, but he's got to go pee.
Yeah.
So he goes to the bathroom, finishes up, washes his hands, and the cryptic guy is there and starts talking to him cryptically.
Mm-hmm.
And he pushes the guy up against the wall. Because I think he says something about his sister. And then a guy walks into the bathroom and brother turns, looks at that guy, then looks back at the wall and the cryptic guy is not there anymore. And the guy is giving brother a look like, man, fucking drunk people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then just goes about his business. And brother goes out, and the blonde's there. He's like, yeah, let's go back to my place.
Well, he tells her he wants a rain check.
Oh, okay.
He's like, maybe next time, and throws down a fistful of dollars.
Yeah.
Like that movie.
Yes. A fistful of dollars.
No, I was thinking The Watchmen.
Oh, okay. That's fair, too.
Is it?
Probably not.
Now, that's fair.
It's not Love and War, so.
So he heads home, and then there's a rap upon the door.
Yes.
And it's the blonde girl, and he's like, wait a second, did you fucking follow me home? What the fuck? And she's like, make out with me.
Yep.
And the guy looks like Ted, like a generic Ted Raimi. Like, he ain't gonna have no 22-year-old blonde chicks following home, let's be real.
Yeah, I know. And so they head up to his floor mattress.
Yeah, which chicks dig floor mattresses.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Hey, it smells like shit in this house. You don't have running water? Awesome.
Yeah, I can't wait to bone down with you.
Yeah, super sick.
So they are halfway to Pound Town.
Oh, and they do the classic, like, they do the classic move where the girl is clearly sitting on his stomach.
Yep.
They're having real sexual intercourse right now. You watch enough movies like Audi. This and you're like, angles are wrong. Nope. That's not real.
No, he just has a really big Audi, Chris.
I guess so.
Yeah.
And they're consummating.
Yep. And then she's like, taking like all her upper garments off, or garments off her upper torso, and when she uncovers her breasts, they cut to his sister on top of him, naked with like weird, like angelic script looking scars all over her body, and kind of like fucked up eyes, and she didn't look good. She looks rough.
But on the plus side, he did ejaculate into his sister.
Yeah, yeah.
So cool for him, I guess. Like,
yeah. But to be fair, he is rather freaked out about the situation.
He's not happy about it.
No. Nope. This, yeah. It was the worst episode of Sis Swap.
Sister does congratulate him on the pregnancy, though, which is fucking wild.
Yeah. And this is when he goes and to the priest that's in the hospital, and the priest is like, writes out on a piece of paper, contact this priest. He tracks down that priest who's given a lecture about some exorcism he did. And then he follows the priest after the seminar, the lecture, convinces him to have lunch with him, and then describes his sister. And as he, when they get to like the symbols that are on her skin, her scars, the guy's like, let's just go. We got to go now. You can tell me the rest on the drive. And they head straight to shitty old mom's house.
Yeah. Cancel our Bakersfield appointment. This is the real thing.
But in the meantime, a lady who may or may not have a horse face wakes up in the middle of the night and starts talking to the ginormous cross in her bedroom.
Oh, man, it's so big.
That starts bleeding at her. And this obviously tells her that she needs to go to the shitty old house and talk to the sister.
Yeah, obviously. That's what the giant bleeding cross means.
Also, the symbols on her flesh apparently were the third name of Belal or something.
Belal, I think.
Belal.
Belial.
Could be B-E-L-I-A-L. I don't know.
I think that's it.
Yeah, Belial. But then, so she is talking to the sister, and the sister kind of is acting all demonic. And the lady, like, power of Christ compels her a little bit, and then she's like, oh, thank you, you saved me, blah 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 blah. And also, like, you know, you've seen true evil, so you should probably make sure that doesn't happen again. And then the lady like reaches up and like pulls her own eyes out. Oh, you don't really get to see that, which was kind of sad. It would have been gnarly to see that.
Yeah. So now Team Exorcist is on the way.
Yeah,
they show up. It smells bad in the house.
Mm-hmm. Which is also a sign of demonic possession and a broken sewer line.
Yeah, one or the other. It could go either way.
Or, you know, if you've served beans the night before.
Yeah, demonic beans.
Yeah.
They go to find her in the basement? Seems like the right place to look first.
Well, they follow the smell down to the basement, and there is a potential horse face lady tied to a cross.
Yeah. With her eyes gouged out.
Mm-hmm. And that's when the sister like appears behind them and attacks them.
Well, yeah, Ted Raimi vomits, sister attacks.
Yeah, and then fucking exorcism assistant like tranks her with a needle.
Like you do.
Yeah, well, every Sunday.
They get her strapped into the bed upstairs.
Yep.
They tried to do the exorcism. The demons but all she, like, fuck that shit.
And they just breaks free from the restraints.
Yeah, gets real mad when they say the name. Because it's an exorcism. You know the demon's name gives you power or something.
Yeah, and then the guy like hits her with like even more tranks, like three or four of them.
That's a lot of tranks.
Yeah, and he's like, and the guys, and then like after talking about it afterwards, he's talking to the priest, and he's like, oh yeah, like we're out of tranks. Like I have used everything we have. Like I've basically given her enough to drop an elephant.
Yeah, we filled her full of barbiturates. We read the Bible. I don't know what else to do.
Yeah, and that's when Ted Raimi walks in and is like, wait, what?
Wait, hold on. You did what now?
you give my sister how much drug?
drug? They can't contain the demon. The demon vibrates apart the house.
Yep. And buries them all.
Yeah.
And she's also giving birth at that time, too.
Yeah, she's heavy with incest demon child.
Yeah. Like that, she like... Apparently, incest demon childs have a one-day gestation period.
Super fast.
Yeah. And so, like, she's giving birth. The house falls apart. Ted Raimi jumps on her to protect her. Priest and assistant makes it out. Yeah. But the priest still trying to exorcise her. And they're buried under, what did they say, like 4 tons of rubble?
Yeah, some number that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's like a fucking, like, is it even two stories, or is it like a ranch?
No, it was 2 stories. There was an upstairs, I think.
Okay, yeah, like 2 stories, like, built probably, like, in the 60s or 70s. Like, it was not 4 tons of rubble. It was not 8,000 pounds of shit there.
Yeah. So, we cut to the next day, where the preacher man, exorcist guy, he's in the cop shop, and the police are like, "You're not under arrest, we just want to answer some questions." Listeners, if you ever find yourself in a police station, and they say you're not under arrest, we want you to answer some questions, the only thing you say is, "I would like a lawyer." Doesn't matter if you did nothing or not. You just tell them you want a lawyer. For the love of God.
Yeah. Or just give them your name, rank, and serial number.
Like I said, in this house, we don't talk to cops. And they try to get the skinny on what happened. Exorcist man is like, wait.
Exorcist man. Does all the exorcists he can.
You found the crucified eyeless woman. We all knew that was going to happen. That's obvious. She was in the basement under 8,000 pounds of rubble. Makes sense you found her in 23 minutes.
Yeah. I mean, the basement, we all know that the basement ceiling is the strongest floor.
That's true. And he's like, what about the other ones? And they're like, no other ones, just that one in the basement.
Yeah. They were obviously crushed by all the bedroom rubble.
Yeah, turned into goop. Never to be seen again.
Until.
They are seen again.
Yeah, when they are at a shitty motel. And apparently they are now parenting their little demonic baby child.
Yeah. The cryptic old man is like, congratulations. You did it. That's why we picked you, because we knew you would be good at
incest.
Incesting and keeping the baby out of the rubble. Congrats. Yeah.
Although, how long until she drowns it? That's the question.
Based on her track record, 10, 12 years.
Yeah, tops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it's over.
Yeah, that's the end. And so, Chris, what did you think of this movie?
It's not great. In fact, I'd say it's not great. It's bad, probably. Every so often, there is a spark to it. And you're like, okay, all right, I'll give you another shot, movie. Like when the lady in bed shoots up out of bed and looks over at the giant cross in her bedroom. I'm like, all right, that's the kind of stupid I'm looking for in this kind of movie. They clearly had a budget of, like, whatever they found in the couch cushions. And to the film's credit, like, it's cheap, but it's technically competent. Like, the cameras are good. The sound mix is fine. It looks like a movie. They just couldn't afford actors. Some of them are okay. It is... an interesting movie.
Would you believe that this is this director's 6th feature film?
No.
6th.
I guess maybe. I mean, like I said, it's technically competent.
Yeah. I mean, it's no Krampus the Reckoning or Krampus Unleashed.
What is, though? Let's be honest.
But the one after this was Krampus Origins.
Finally, we'll get to know where Krampus came from. it is somehow got no plot and incomprehensible. It deserves every bit of the, like, 3 stars it has on IMDb.
Although the ratings do vary from 1 star to 9 stars. Someone gave this 9 stars.
Not unless I had a gun in my fucking mouth when I give this movie 9 stars.
Not 1 star 9 times, but 9 stars.
I just skip it. You could do better. It has some fun points. It's goofy and kind of ridiculous, but it's not. I don't know. As the human incarnate of a trash panda, it's not the kind of garbage I'm into. I say pass on this one. What do you think, Mr. Troy?
I liked parts of it. I feel like there was some, like, there were some glimmers of awesomeness in it. They were far between, but they were there. I did like that they didn't really explicitly say if she drowned her child, but the implication is she did, and that's what gave the demon the opening to possess her, was their damaged soul from drowning her own child, which I'm presuming she did to kind of just put the child out of her own misery.
That's the implication. Because
she had, like, you know, like, the child had been through all the leukemia treatments. They really weren't working. So, like, just to keep her daughter from suffering, she drowned her. So, I mean, she wasn't a garbage person. She kind of did it for, you know, altruistic reasons. But in the end, she still committed murder, which gave murder the Yodler, which gave her the opening to the demon it needed to possess her. So, I mean, it was okay. I don't know if I can really suggest people watch it. I mean, if you're just flipping through, if you're just browsing Tubi and Tubi says, hey, watch this, I mean, maybe give it a shot. And it's probably good background kind of stuff. It is definitely like a low budget, but I mean, they do the best with the budget with what they have that they have. So good on them for that. I mean, I don't know. I feel bad saying bad things about this movie, but it's not a great movie, but it is as good as it could be, I think, given the budget.
True.
So, I don't know. I'd push, I guess, on this one. I don't want to, like, say don't watch it, but I really don't want to say to watch it either.
Fair.
I feel bad saying don't watch it. So what are we watching next week, Chris?
Well, we're going to watch the original Puppet Master film.
Yeah, suggested to us by Anna, my friend from another Discord server.
Yeah, that'll be fun, yeah. Probably.
Yeah, it should be. I have never seen it. I've not seen a single Puppet Master movie ever.
Well, you're in for a treat.
My life's about to change.
Yep, only 34 more to go and you'll see them all.
Woohoo!
So what if other people want to recommend non-puppet-based movies necessarily?
Well, they could go to Facebook, where we are Slaughterhouse Princess. They could email us at slaughterhouseprincesspodcast@gmail.com. Or they could go to our Discord server at discord.slaughterhouseprincess.com and go to the movie request channel there and request a movie. Otherwise, if you want to just talk to us, all of those work, except for maybe general chat would work better on the Discord server than the movie requests. But hey, you know, you do you. You could, if you would like to support us financially, you go to store or patreon.sarspinsis.com and you can either buy merch or pledge to our Patreon and get access to the Patreon channel on the Discord server where we post pictures of J.K. Simmons impersonating Horse Lanta.
Yeah, or the other way around. Hard to tell.
It is hard to tell. They're both chameleons.
Yeah. Horse Lanta really gets into his role.
Yeah, he's pure method.
So come back next time for the Puppet Master.
And while their podcasts think about movies, we'll drink about movies.
Goodbye. Why is the sink so low? I thought to myself as an old man.